Good morning. Welcome to Backchat. I'm Hugh Chiverton. Your co-host today is Michael Cigani. Michael, good morning to
morning,
you.
Morning, Hugh.
We're talking today about John Jung's overpaid dishwashers. Are they a good or a bad thing? The financial secretary at the weekend said that he'd been told by some SMEs that they were finding it difficult to hire low-skilled workers. One employer told him that it was difficult to hire a dishwasher, even for a monthly salary of $12,000. Jung said such a mismatch in supply and demand would ultimately trigger a continuous surge in salaries, increasing the costs for businesses. In the end, those that can't survive the increasing labour costs and adverse economic environment might collapse, which would lead to higher unemployment and reduced spending power. He said he and his colleagues would monitor the situation and offer assistance when necessary to help businesses get through their difficulties. Others say it isn't a problem if poor people earn more. It's just market forces for once benefiting those at the bottom, and that high rents are a more serious drag on the economy. Email us with your analysis at address backchat@rthk.hk. We want to hear from you, or go to our Facebook page, comment there. That's Backchat on RTHK Radio 3, or call us 233 88266. Later in the programme, we're talking about Ai Weiwei's Lego. Joining us for our first discussion, we have with us David Webb, who's the founder of website.com, Lawrence Pack, Director of Operations at the Lion Rock Institute, and Andy Kwan, who's the Director of the ACE Centre for Business and Economic Research. Thank you all very much indeed for joining us today. Lawrence Pack, maybe we'll start with you. Good morning.
Morning. Hi. Good morning, Mr. Sheridan and Mr. Cigani.
Good morning.
Whose side are you on then, Jung or the dishwashers?
Well, I'm on the side of the poor skilled workers. So when I read his blog post, I was not surprised at all. In fact, us at the Lion Rock Institute have long been fighting against what we call these Greek-style legislations, which are laws that make Hong Kong closer to becoming Greece every day. We think that...
Like what, for example?
Well, what about the MPF? It makes small businesses much harder to run. That's one. Well, we have a lot more, but I mean, with all these kinds of laws being enacted, and we're pressured to have even more every day. The Lion Rock Institute believes that only two groups of people would benefit. The first is the big businesses. Just imagine a chain restaurant, one of the larger fast food restaurants. They have thousands of staffs. They are even if they have to face a rise in wage costs, they are quite easy to allocate resources. But imagine if you run a small, very small restaurant with only four staff. Like, what can you do when you cannot hire a dishwasher or any other staff?
You can close the restaurant. I thought the Lion Rock Institute was a free market thing. I mean, that's what the market demands, right?
$12,000 for a dishwasher. Well, we're seeing more and more small restaurants are being closed down. And I'm not sure if Hong Kong loves the idea of only having the big businesses left. So this is one group that we think would benefit. And the second group is, in fact, the labor union leaders, such as the Honorable Mr. Lee Chuck Yen. In fact, what we think is that the current situation is indeed a heaven for someone like him, because his job is much easier when he only has to deal with big businesses and large corporations and chain restaurants. With all these small businesses being forced to close down, Mr. Chugani said, well, there's no more small business for him left to face, so his job is much easier. So we think these are the two groups of people that would benefit.
No, I'm still trying to understand, Mr. Pack, where you stand. You said, do you support the dishwashers earning $12,000 or not? But your answer doesn't tell us. I mean, the market forces dictate that dishwashers now cost $12,000. Small companies say they cannot afford to pay that. And then you say the large companies can. But do you support that dishwashers should earn $12,000 a month because that's what the market demands?
Well, I mean, this is exactly, as you said, it's the market forces, right? Why are they making $12,000? It's exactly because, obviously, there are much easier jobs that pay the same rate as a dishwasher. So that's exactly why no one is willing to do the job. And well, I have no problem with someone getting a wage increase because their job is There's no one else to replace his job. But the problem is with people who cannot hire someone to wash their dishes.
Okay, David Webb, good morning to you.
Morning.
You're known as a free market advocate.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say. What's your free market
reading
of this
situation? Well, I'm just astonished at the continued financial and economic illiteracy of our financial secretary. I mean, the man is clearly an unskilled worker himself in his particular role. His policies over the last 8 years have been a stream of economic illiteracy, whether it's double stamp duty or dishing out $2 fares for everybody who reaches the age of 65, which he will in April next year, by the way, so it's about time he retired.
If he's so unskilled, you should pay him less. Is that your?
No, I think he should just resign. We need somebody skilled in that job with economic
literacy. He might end up as our chief executive.
In one paragraph, basically, he has argued contradictory. He's contradicted himself. He said that the demand for low-skilled workers is driving up their wages, and that this could lead to their unemployment. To more unemployment in Hong Kong. And both of these things can't be true. Obviously, there is demand. That's a healthy thing. It's a free market for labour. If small restaurants are somehow less efficient and can't afford to pay people to clean their dishes or buy robotic dishwashers or automatic dishwashers instead, then they should be out of business. It's not the government's job to introduce subsidies
right.
for businesses. And they've already done enough of that, and it's too much. They have the SME loan guarantee scheme, where they will basically use taxpayers' money to underwrite the risks of businesses. They shouldn't be doing that at all. He's got nothing to worry about if the result of demands on labour has been to increase their wages. It actually reduces the obligations of government to subsidise low-income people. So that's a good thing.
But why, Mr. Webb, is it that whenever things come up about the cost of doing business, the argument always falls on or blames labour wages rather than high rents?
Well, I think you know, these are separate issues. The supply of land and property is different to the supply of labour. Clearly both of them play a factor in the costs of doing business and the types of business that one can do in Hong Kong. And he mentioned recyclers, I think, as well. Well, maybe it's the case that it's cheaper and more efficient to recycle waste in the mainland where land is cheaper and labour is cheaper. And just like call centres, where we've outsourced a lot of work, I mean, there are very few call centres in Hong Kong. If you talk to somebody in your phone operator, mobile phone operator, they're probably in a call centre in Guangzhou. And that's the laws of economics basically applying. And so rather than allocate more land for recycling plants, which is just more intervention by government, they should let the market forces roll on
yeah,
that
but
as well.
Know, so what do you say to the restaurant owner who has five people? They're just starting out. They're an entrepreneur. They're trying to make a business.
Well, good luck to them.
Yeah. And if the dishwashers want 15, because Simon Wong was saying that actually they were talking about 15,000. For an unskilled job.
First of all, I find the figure hard to believe. Secondly, the rate is what it is. It'll be higher in certain areas because the dishwasher has to get to the job. They don't live in luxury areas of town. They live out in the New Territories somewhere and need to take transport to get there and take time to get there, which they could otherwise use working. So, all these factors come into play. The price of a dishwasher in Tin Shui Wai is probably much lower than the price of a dishwasher in Central per hour. That's market forces. If you can't make your business work, then move on. The market's telling you that your resources and your skills will be better used elsewhere, just as it is with labour. It's the same with entrepreneurs. If your business isn't succeeding, then well done for trying and move on.
Okay, Andy Kwan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Dee, for joining us. Do you agree with David Webb on that?
Well, to some extent, I think the main issues here is not one single issue, in the sense that you have to look at the changes in the Hong Kong economy. Because when you look at the retail sector and even the accommodation and food services, one thing you can observe that the number of employment has gone up okay, for the past few years. That is very much due to rapid expansion in the tourist industry. So you can blame too many mainland tourists in Hong Kong. So if you have such a booming industry like this, and it's going to create a lot of employment opportunities, and sort of this will push up the demand. Of course, if you have a very tight labor market, eventually this will have certain impact on the wages, even without the minimum wage law. Now, it goes back to the minimum wage law here. There are two effects here, actually. One is the so-called substitution effect, because once you raise the wage rate here to the minimum wage rate, and people tend to select easier jobs if they pay for the same amount of money. So that's why there's a lack of so-called dishwashers in the so-called restaurant business, and you'll find more supply in the sector like security guards. Even you observe the old folks' home, there are basically not enough healthcare takers there. And another effect you have to look at is the so-called the spillover effect here. Once you introduce the so-called the minimum wage law here, and there's a so-called the floor wage here. So in this case, whoever make money, make say wages a little bit above the floor wage, and they will ask for more. So there's a so-called the spillover effect. That's why you observe a general trend in the wages in those markets. The wages are no problem in a sense. It's like a signal to the market. This is how the market adjusts. Fortunately, if you look at the recent numbers in the mainland tourists or the tourists coming to Hong Kong, is slowing. It's slowing down, even if there's a contraction there. And if you look at the retail sector, the number of employment has been down. And if there's a slowdown like this, observe that there will be a so-called less pressure on the wages in terms of the wage hike next year. And also, Hong Kong is entering a slowdown here. And you can say it's kind of like a stagnate. And so, all in all, like it's a combination of factors.
Yeah, but Ms. Kwan, you know, like David Webb pointed out, if you were to hire a dishwasher in Tin Shui Wai, it's not going to cost you as much as if you to hire a dishwasher in Lan Kwai Fong, right?
Uh-huh.
So if a person wants to open up a restaurant in Lan Kwai Fong, that person has got to look at the costs, right?
Uh-huh.
If the person opens up a restaurant in Tin Shui Wai, he also looks at the costs, right?
Right.
But the guy wants to open it up in Lan Kwai Fong, and the rents in Lan Kwai Fong will be far, far higher than the rents in Tin Shui Wai, right?
The prices are higher, too. The price you pay for food and beverage in a luxury area will be higher to reflect those costs.
Exactly.
And also reflects the higher income of the people who can afford those prices. It's all driven by market forces.
Exactly. So why is it then that John Jung would point out this dishwasher thing? Because, you know, a $12,000 dishwasher you find in Central, not in Tin Shui Wai. So in Central, the rents are high. So why doesn't it also say, yeah, but the entire cost of that restaurant also includes the rent, and that's high too, right?
Of course. I don't think John Zhang is fair about this point. As we all know that, like, store rents are skyrocketing, but it's, the rents are coming down, okay, rapidly now. But the main thing is, if you look at the past few years, and store rents are up, was up, and if you look at the wages up, it's a combination. So you can't blame only the so-called dishwasher effect. The dishwasher effect is more like an indicator of what we have, what we observe, the substitution effect here. And as far as you look at the so-called like unreasonable wage rate, say that you pay more than $12,000, or pay $12,000 for a dishwasher. Eventually, like if the wage rate is too high, you have to think about like those kind of workers will be replaced by machines. Because I worked in a restaurant before, like 23 years in Chinatown. Okay, we have only one dishwasher. We have a one dish washing machine. So eventually, if the wage rate is too high, and it's going to be replaced by machines. And also, when you look at the restaurant business, because there's a hard time they find even waiter and waitresses. Okay, the restaurants are just according to say they may take they may hire people just working for 3 to 4 hour shift, or they use an iPad. If you want to make order, you can punch an iPad, and then you can hire fewer workers. The market is always adjusting. Okay, if the wage rate is really high, eventually it's going to backfire because the restaurants cannot afford to hire workers.
That's a healthy thing. It means the workers have found work elsewhere. I mean, it's not creating unemployment. That was the fundamentally awful thing about John Chang's blog on Sunday. And he only writes these things in Chinese, by the way, so we all have to rely on interpretations of it. But, you know, he seems to feel a sort of compulsive obligation to say something every Sunday, even if it doesn't make any sense. And this is one such thing. The demand for labour driving up wage rates is a healthy thing for labour. It's not going to create unemployment. It creates different kinds of employment, as you say, that it may be that more restaurants use self-service or use tablets to take orders or use conveyor belts to deliver food like a sushi bar does. You know, these kinds of food outlets will become more attractive and more popular because of their lower costs of business, which are reflected in lower prices for their products.
I want to inject one thing here is because Hong Kong is slowing down due to and external factors, and also there are fewer tourists coming to Hong Kong. And I think John Tseng is saying one thing correct. Once you have a minimum wage law like this, you have a substitution impact on the labor market.
Well, you do at the lowest level, but yeah. We're talking about, you know, if 12,000 a month is the market rate, that's way above the minimum wage of $32.50 an hour.
Because when you look at the security guard job, okay?
The minimum wage is currently about $6,000 a month, okay? So, yes, you're right that it is more comfortable to sit in a booth air-conditioned than to stand up in a hot kitchen washing dishes, and therefore the dishwashers will get a higher wage as a consequence of that minimum wage. But it's unlikely to be altering the dynamics at double that level at 12,000. I'm not a supporter of the minimum wage. I never have been. I think the market forces should be allowed to work themselves out, and instead you should have minimum incomes in terms of social welfare for those who are not in work. But I don't think that it's actually affecting the price of labour at much higher levels. It certainly doesn't affect the wages of financial sector workers, for example.
You're looking at a lower distribution, distribution part. But the lower part is in a sense that because we have a booming industry in the tourist sector.
Yeah. It affects the marginal jobs, the really low-skilled.
That makes it very ridiculous, okay, in a sense that you have to pay such a high wage for a dishwasher. But my point is just eventually the market will adjust. It's not like John Sensek, if there's a wage rate, something very high, and they will drive up the demand is high, and then you will drive up the wages. Eventually you have to look at the cost side because firms cannot afford to pay such a high rent eventually. But there's a combination here because you still have to look at store rents and also the wages here. And for restaurants business and for some other accommodation, they don't require high-skilled labor. That's why it's happening right now. But this correcting is adjusting right now according to the labor market dynamics because you have to look at the external factor, how much slowing down, plus the industry is not doing as well as before.
Look, Lawrence Pack, do you think the minimum wage has played a part in this?
Well, for sure. I mean, actually, I was going to make one point, and it's something Mr. Kwan mentioned earlier. It's about it's now extremely hard to hire workers for old age homes. I think the focus is, for restaurants, of course, if you have higher costs, maybe some will close down. What's the worst case? Maybe when you take your lunch, you have to line up longer. I mean, there's a very bad effect, but there's nothing as bad as old age homes and not being able to hire workers. I mean, imagine how are they going to take old people to bath and feed them. I mean,
they are able to hire people. They just have to pay them more, and then they have to charge more for their services. That's what it comes
down
to.
Maybe. I guess at the end, it's the same economic problem with restaurants, but I think we should not only look at one single business. This I don't think it has to do with only minimum wage. There are a lot more other regulations that hurt the low-skilled workers just as much.
Don't forget, the labour market is not a fixed quantity, even if you ignore the demographic shifts, because there are people who will come out to work for a higher wage who are not currently working. They've opted out. They are home carers looking after children or whatever, and at some threshold of incentive, they will go to work. So the labour market also responds to increasing demand for low-skilled wages.
What exactly was Financial Secretary John Jung's point when he said that?
Well, there isn't one. I mean, obviously, as I said at the beginning, he's not making sense.
I know,
here.
because having said that, is he then suggesting that there should be legislation to lower wages? I mean, you know, the government has passed a minimum wage law.
According to his blog, and that's all we can go by, this started with some visitation from some SME committee or lobby group. And so he was just regurgitating what they said, basically, and saying, well, we should think about ways to help them. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he will think about it and do nothing, or at least better people will advise him to do nothing rather than to create some sort of...
Aren't you making this a bit overcomplicated? The thing is, I mean, they're worried that one of the costs of doing business, which is labour, has got unreasonably high, and the government is there to help.
Anyone can ask for a handout, but the government's job is not to hand out money.
The government's job is to foster new business or create an environment which is conducive to new business.
It's great environment that's conducive to overall economic prosperity, and that does involve facilitating but not subsidising business. Getting out of the way is the main job of government in business, not to get into it. So reducing red tape. Eliminating bad policy. I mean, for example, if you currently want to open a office in Hong Kong, your only option really is to rent, because otherwise you'll have to pay the equivalent of 2 years' rent to the government in stamp duty if you want to buy a premises. Mm-hmm. And if you can't buy premises, you're not going to fit them out to the same standard for your operations. So by imposing that friction on the movement of property, the financial secretary in his budgets has made business harder. He's also said to anyone who's thinking of bringing their skills to Hong Kong that if they move here for 7 years, they can't buy property, because if they do, they'll have to pay additional 15%. Yeah. So you can't buy a home. You know, and so they've these policies are counterproductive.
That's the sort of thing the government shouldn't be doing. The government should be helping.
They should be not doing these things. They should be getting out of the way. But they shouldn't be handing out cash or guaranteeing loans for businesses. Businesses can find their own capital, either venture capital, friends and family type capital, or their own savings
to put into a
business. But you know that
governments all over the world see it as part of their responsibility. It's like education, because they have to think long term. They don't want all the restaurants to be taken over by McDonald's
and fast food chains
or whatever, because they've got the money and they've got the economies of scale and they can build big dishwashing machines.
There's not a lot of economies of scale in running a restaurant. I mean,
dishwashing machines. Then they could invest in dishwashing machines.
Yeah, sure they can, and or they can try to reduce the labor count by having self service at the restaurants. That's what competitive forces will bring us. But that's not a reason for government to start inventing
nothing but large scale restaurants.
No, that's not true at all. There's plenty of start up restaurants. Maybe some restaurants come and go pretty quickly. They are dynamic things. But if the government gets into the business of watering the weeds, then the flowers won't bloom, basically. And that's what you do if you start introducing SME loan guarantees or start-up subsidies or grants or anything like that. So they should cease and desist all of that and let the market function.
Andy Kwan, you agree?
I think the main thing here is just let the market work it out. But now I can see the cost basically is coming down slightly, because you look at the store rents and also look at the tourist industry.
But you can't leave it up to the market because you've already, by introducing the minimum wage and MPF and other things, you've already introduced an element of distortion. I mean, this is why, because I'm looking at the wages now for median wage for selected occupations at the moment in Hong Kong. And the wages for guards and for dishwashers are just about the same.
But that's because
and people will naturally go and tend to become guards because it's more comfortable. But the guard's job is that pay is artificially inflated because of the effects of the minimum wage.
But one thing you have to observe that the market is correcting due to you have the decline, so-called the number of tourists coming to Hong Kong. And the number of tourists coming to Hong Kong is declining right now, and it does affect the so-called the game of the industry here. Because, like, if you look at the past two quarters, the number of workers employed in so-called the retail sector has been down by close to 3,000 workers. So 3,000. So in this case, you have to look at the past few years. It's due to the IBS. Okay, that makes the whole economy, especially the retail sector, food, accommodations, that kind of industries, they're growing at a normal rate, versus a high rate. So that's why there's a tremendous demand for labor, such as for low-skilled workers. Once you have this kind of phenomenon, it's going to have this kind of abnormal things happening. But now we all know that the number of mainland tourists is down. It's not going to be like this previously. So right. It's going to adjust the whole market.
Okay, Andy Kwan, thanks, director of the UC Centre for Business and Economic Research. We're going to break for the news at 9. Drop us a line, backchat@rthk.hk. Later, talking about Ai Weiwei and Lego bricks. The weather, sunny periods, temperatures about 29 degrees today with light winds, sunny intervals in the next few days, cooler over the weekend. 27 degrees now, humidity 8.
In poverty.
You're listening to the news on RTHK.
Welcome back. This is Bank Chat on a Wednesday morning with Michael Cigani and me, Hugh Chiverton. We're continuing to talk about John Jung's comment at the weekend on his blog. He was talking about what some employers in SMEs had told him, that they were finding it very hard to hire low-skilled workers. He was told that he couldn't get a dishwasher even for a monthly salary of $12,000. Jung said this was a mismatch in supply and demand, which would ultimately trigger a surge in salaries, increasing the cost for businesses. That would lead to economic problems, higher unemployment and reduce spending power. He said he and his colleagues would monitor the situation. Monitoring it now, we have with us Lawrence Pack, Director of Operations at the Lion Rock Institute, David Webb, a shareholder activist, founder of website.com, and we're also joined now by Christopher Lau, who's Treasurer and former Chairman of People Power. Email address is backchat@rthk.hk. We'd like to hear from you. You can call us as well. Just join in. 233-88266 is our number, 233-88266. Later, we're going to be talking about Ai Weiwei, the artist, and his problem with Lego bricks with an artist, one of those involved in the umbrella movement as well, who's well used to sort of provocative and political issues with art. If you've got thoughts on that, then drop us a line, backchat@rthk.hk. A few comments from listeners. Alex says, dishwashers hard to employ at 12,000. Is this because dishwashers need 12,000 just to get by? Is everything more expensive? As everything's more expensive because of land's price. Whiskers should knowing this, but because he pays so much, he having no idea what life is like for the other low-skilled Hong Kong peoples. You know my talkings, says Alex, who also says, dishwashers paid 12,000 very likely is able to say how many dishes are washed or not washed. Whiskers paid something like 360,000, not able to figure out if the government is in the red or the black. Should be replacing Whiskers with dishwasher. Can employ 30 of them for the same price. They're able to do the same job for sure. Maybe it's better. Anybody's like is better as equally unqualified. And net result is 29 Hong Kong people working instead of just one. You know my talking. So that's a suggestion from Alex. We'll get to the other comments as well. Thank you very much indeed. And from email in just a moment. Christopher Lau, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning.
So whose side are you on, John Jung or the dishwashers?
I'm definitely not on the side of John Jung. I don't understand John Zhang's philosophy at all. I mean, he professes that he believes in free market economy. If it is the case, then why saying there's a mismatch? Does he believe that actually there is a stipulated amount of wages for dishwasher? No.
Do you believe in free market?
I do, actually, yeah, to a certain extent. But for him, let's talk about John Jung first, that actually he claims to believe in free market economy generally, that if it is the case that dishwasher needs a higher pay, why complaining? Why complaining on behalf of the SMEs? I mean, if nobody or there's a shortage of labor supply in dishwasher, you have to pay more. This is free market economy, right? So why don't see that John Zhang is complaining on behalf of certain SMEs that actually the lawyers' fees are too high, the professional fees are too high. That then we should monitor that, and if there's an economic downturn, then they should do some measures to mitigate. They don't see that. Why doesn't John Zhang says something like this?
Well, are you going to, Christopher? You're from People Power. Are you going to get your People Power legislators like Albert Chen to throw paper dishes at him in LegCo?
I don't know that. Yeah, I'm talking about here is actually there's something wrong with John Dunn's comment. No, is actually inconsistency of his philosophy. Yeah,
but I don't think he says that he's not going to lower the wages. He's not asking for lower wages. He's asking for some support for the employers who have to pay these wages.
I think it comes down to, though, isn't it? He's going to say, well, maybe we should do it in a hidden way by increasing the work incentive transport subsidy that he's already established. So basically, he's already paying part of the wages of low-income people to go to work by paying a transport allowance, whether or not they actually
but
take that
But you can always
transport.
Argue that. I mean, I don't know about that, because you could say, well, you give somebody anything, the employers would pay less. You could pay someone's CSSA.
On condition that they work. All they have to do is have a job that doesn't pay more than a certain amount, and he will write them a check for their transport costs. Whether or not they actually use it on transport, that's a subsidy for the employers who would otherwise have to pay more to get those people to come to work.
How do the employers know whether that person is receiving the subsidy or not? I mean,
well, anyone who's entitled to it surely will apply for it. I mean, almost everybody will. This is proven over all sorts of welfare payments that when there's an entitlement, more than 90% of people will claim their entitlement.
So you're saying welfare payments are a waste of time, really, because they will always taken away by wages.
They're not well thought out in this case. There was a sensible rationale for the original transport subsidy, which was this. We are making poor people live in outlying areas because we're establishing public housing ghettos because of our public housing policy, rather than having rental subsidies. So we're making them live in Tin Shui Wai and places like that, and we need to subsidize them to get to work. Now, that was a sensible proposition if it was focused on outlying areas. But then everyone else said, oh, we'd like some too. So he gave it to everybody, at which point it eliminated the benefit to the Tin Shui Wai residents, who now have to compete with people living closer to the work and still getting the subsidy. So, you know, he's actually eliminated the original effect of, which was well-intentioned, of helping people get into the work from outlying areas, compensating them for putting them in ghettos.
Okay, Christopher Lau, I'm sure that John Jung, were he here, he might say something like, you know, well, we're on both people's sides. It's good that people are earning more money. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, this does pose a real economic problem for the kind of small businesses and entrepreneurs that we would like to encourage, because we're thinking about a long-term future in Hong Kong. So it's good that these people earn this money, but we would like to do what we can to also mitigate the effects on the employers and on business. That's reasonable, isn't it? I mean, he talked about this as two sides of a coin. That was the expression he used. Which is fair enough, isn't it?
Businesses have to adapt. I mean, to high wages. As there's an email coming from Alex earlier that's saying that actually $12,000 a month is not that much in Hong Kong nowadays. So what is the correct amount that Johnson said that would not affect business? There's no such amount, right? There's one thing. Another thing is actually, I think Johnson, if he believes in some kind of government intervention or some government is helping encouraging business in Hong Kong, they should also look into the practices in everywhere in developed countries. I mean, higher wages in low-skilled labor will actually push or mount pressure on some SMEs to invest more in technology so that some kind of low low-level jobs or low, so-called low-skilled jobs will be replaced by some kind of automated machines. See, Japan.
Yeah,
the end result of this may be fewer jobs in restaurants and fewer restaurants.
If he was saying something like the government will do something more to help SMEs to invest more in technology, because Hong Kong, there's a structural a phenomenon in Hong Kong that low-skilled jobs will be lacking, then I would at least appreciate his vision. But no, he's of the opinion that actually there will be a group of people who are low-skilled labor who should stuck with some kind of jobs, and there's an economic downturn, we should help the SMEs. We do not listen to he should help those people who are low-skilled labor, right?
But this is it. I mean, can anybody explain this to me? Because when the minimum wage issue was fought, and people said it was too low, then the government said it was not meant to be a living wage, right? It was just a floor, right? It was not meant to be a living wage. And now John Cheng, the financial secretary, says that $12,000 for dishwashers, that's hurting small and medium-sized businesses. So if $6,000, that's about the minimum wage a month, is not supposed to be a living wage, $12,000 is too high.
It's too much.
Then where are we?
I think John knows the right amount, obviously. I mean, he's all-knowing financial secretary who has decided just what the right amount should be, and he will introduce subsidies to make sure we get there. That's central planning for you. Now, you know, the result of these market forces on increasing low-skilled wages will be probably that in the restaurant sector that there will ultimately be fewer restaurants and more people will eat at home and cook at home. And
exactly.
If those dynamics shift, if people go out for meals less often, that is just because of the changes in market forces. It doesn't make society worse off. It's remarkable how much people do eat out in Hong Kong because how cheap it is, how cheap it is to eat out,
And small flats and so on as well.
Don't forget that actually the $12,000 a month is probably lower than it would be if we didn't subsidise the same people for their housing costs, because they're only paying about $1,000 a month.
Yeah, I agree.
In public housing rental. Now, if we were honest about it, we would actually say, hang on, we're already paying them the difference between the $1,000 and what that unit is really worth, and we should recognise all that and take a root and branch approach to reviewing the housing system. Why is it that the government feels this compulsive need to build public housing rather than just to subsidise rent for people who need help? And we could privatise, we could sell off all the public housing, have market rents brought in on that, and give people a voucher for that market rent if they can't afford it.
All right, Lawrence Pack?
Yeah, I would just want to make a comment on Mr. Lau's earlier note, saying how we have the free market and it is everything is working fine. I don't think the labor market is a free market, because we are facing a lot of restrictions. For example, I'm sure even Mr. Lau would agree, we have the bad effects of MPF hedging. Everyone seems to be wanting to get rid of MPF hedging, saying that it hurts.
The offset poor, arrangement?
Yeah, the offset. I'm so sorry for the. I'm not sure of the English term. Why don't we get rid of the whole thing, the whole MPF? Then every single worker would get at least a 5% raise on the same day, right?
That would say the same thing, that $12,600 will be too much for the business, right?
Well, I don't think he meant something like, I'm not trying to fight for him or anything. Yeah. It's just that... the Landmark Institute has always been fighting for the rights of the poor workers, and I think that if we want to help, quote unquote, help small businesses, we should be looking to get rid of these kind of unfair restrictions that help the big businesses, because they are much easier to allocate resources than the small shops. So I'm sure even Mr. Lau would agree that we should get rid of the whole MPF system.
Yes, we agree, but yeah, not for the reasons that you said.
So there's a whole number of reasons.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot more, of course.
Actually, it's about time you had another program on MPF, because it's a whole number of reasons why you should abolish that.
This is something we can all agree on.
It's the excessive costs, it's the fact that it's compulsory savings, that people might not live to 65 to enjoy it, that they can't withdraw from it for urgent needs. And the fact that the whole thing conflicts with the another statutory imposition, which is the long service payment arrangements. All of that needs to be reviewed.
There's so much more we can do to improve everyone's lives.
We've got some thoughts from listeners. Okay, John emailed us quite a while ago, actually half an hour ago. Thank you very much indeed, John. John says Hong Kong is losing competitiveness. Costs are going up from greedy landlords to labour costs. In food and beverage, it's extremely difficult to find suitable staff. Prices are going up because there are more jobs and people looking for them. Let's open the market. We should allow Southeast Asians to come to Hong Kong and work. Let's keep Hong Kong competitive. That's John's suggestion. Christopher Lau, what do you make of that?
Well, there's a problem with that. So you're saying that actually Hong Kong will be a free port that will allow all workers in the world to work in Hong Kong? Is it something like that? John is suggesting?
Well, Singapore's done that, Christopher.
If you want, why not import low-skilled workers?
Is that a sustainable approach, though?
I mean, what, you know.
Well, hang on. Go, Christopher Lau?
Will it be agreed by Mr. Zhang on that, or will it be agreed by Hong Kong people?
No, I'm asking for your reaction to it. This was John's suggestion. Do you agree with John's suggestion?
Well, to a certain extent, actually, is that structural phenomenon that actually Hong Kong needs some sort of labour in certain sectors of industry, then we should import that. But is it a structural phenomenon that we're seeing that actually we do not have enough low-skill labour in certain area, or as I said earlier, actually the economy could adapt or to change to another arrangement?
Mr. Lau, any restaurant owner will tell you it's really hard finding staff. In Hong Kong.
As I said, in Japan, the restaurant owner will invest more in technology and use technology, automated machine to replace the low-skilled worker. Why don't they do that?
Why not just import more labour?
Why are we talking about importing labour when we're still having to subsidise the labour we've got? Okay, if we've reached a level of prosperity where we no longer have to subsidise people's housing and costs as we do at present through the public housing system, then we should start thinking about it. I mean, if you are Monaco, for example, you probably have your street cleaners shipped in from France or other places. And they go home at the end of the day, and you know that's all good. But if we were to start saying just because dishwashers are now paid 12,000, we should start getting them from the Philippines or Thailand or Indonesia instead. We then end up having to subsidise the lower incomes of the people who used to be dishwashers because we now have more competition. So I don't favour importing cheap labour just for the short-term benefits of driving down the costs of businesses. Rather, we should look to those businesses to restructure. If they can't attract people for their restaurants, then they're not paying enough because there is a labour pool out there, and they're employed by other restaurants. And if your restaurant isn't competitive, then close it down.
But why? Some more comments, sorry, from listeners I would like to get to. Alex says, with the subject line, mouth slapper, Whiskers wetting his pants about high cost of dishwashers. This is law of supplies and demands. Whiskers should know this as he's handling all the government money make from limiting supply of land. He not only am I talking to slap himself in mouth to benefits vested interest. That is all the government carings about, says Alex on our Facebook page. Henry's back. Thank you very much indeed, Henry. Henry says, labour shortage has been in existence in many work types, not necessarily restricted to low-skilled labour. The shortage has caused increased wages paid to such workers due to supply and demand. Additionally, because of such labour shortage, such as those in construction industry, the affected project duration has to be lengthened due to waiting time for some labour types that are in short supply. Eventually, they all translate to higher costs for services. and products. We must look at this issue on a macro level and not a personal level. Mm. Import of workers is probably the only worthwhile solution, and we need to achieve a right balance between imported labour and the rights of local workers. Knee-jerk reaction of saying no to import of labour is not the solution, says Henry.
I wouldn't say no across the board, but I think that you've got, if you have surges in demand caused by things like the massive government infrastructure bill that's mm-hmm. currently going on, we won't. That demand won't persist, okay? Because it's government created, and it's only while we're building a third runway or whatever. So, in those circumstances, certainly think about importing extra construction workers and sending them home when they're finished.
All right.
That's not the same as permanent importation of labour when we've already got a lot of low-skilled, low-paid, subsidised labour living in public rental housing.
Okay. TC on our Facebook page says, employees' salaries are never the biggest burden for businesses in Hong Kong. The cost to have a place of operation is. I often think, as a society, are we better off to have more people making relatively more money, or just having a few landowners make more money than they'll ever need, says TC. And one more comment in an email. This is from Sharon, who says, get rid of public housing, how ridiculous. Although all landlords in Hong Kong will be licking their lips at that idea. Sharon, thank you very much indeed for
that
comment.
Not if you give people a rental voucher.
David Webb will have the last word.
Not at all ridiculous. It gives them more choice. Rather than say you must live in Tin Shui Wai, here's a voucher. Mm-hmm. It's $10,000. Go and find yourself a home. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In principle, I agree with that, but it's not actually quite easy to make it in practice.
Well, it would be. It would be. You could, with a lot of vision, government could do it.
All right. Public housing another day. Thank you very much indeed, David Webb, friend of website.com. Thanks to Christopher Lau, Treasurer, former Chairman of People Power, and Lawrence Pack, who's Director of Operations at the Lion Rock Institute, and to those who emailed and commented on our Facebook page as well. Thank you very much indeed for joining us today. Finally,